Glad to be here today. Glad to hear all the fellowship and talking that's going on. I'm glad for the grace that God has given us to wake up one more time. We take that for granted. God's allowed us to gather together with the express intent of worshiping Him. And that's what I want to do today. I want to glorify and worship Him for who He is. I'm glad that was mentioned to me. I want to do this real fast, and I think it's a good thing. We got a lot of folks that are out sick, and we know our pastor's at home, and we all love him, and we're thanking of him. But it was asked if we could. If you want to, you can stand. We're going to look at the camera and give him a wave. Just let him know we're thinking about him. We appreciate him, and we're praying for him. So everybody, whenever you're ready, give him a wave. I'm glad of that. Glad we've got a church that prays and appreciates the people that labor. And we all know this. Terry has put in many hours into this church. Terry's put a lot of dedication in. Terry's put a lot of time in. But I'm glad that we could do that today. I'm going to read a scripture in opening up, then we'll turn it over to the choir. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, while I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again behold I and the children which God hath given me." I'm glad that Christ saw it fit to endure even unto death. Sometimes we hear of the cross and we become numb to it. We hear it so often. We hear of Christ dying and we become numb to it. But I want to say that the cross of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Let us not forget the great manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that He sent His only Son to die for you and I when we were undeserving, dead, wretched and vile, not while we were good, not while we were righteous, but while we were dead in our trespasses, Christ died for us. Let us proclaim it today from the housetops. Let us worship Him for that. I'm going to pray, then we'll turn it over to the choir. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank You once more for allowing us to gather here. God, let us not forget. God, let us never forget the cross of Christ today. God, I pray today that someone would see how real the cross is, would see how great their need is in this hour. Oh God, today, be real to someone today. Let us worship You as if You're coming in the next moment. Let us rejoice like we're truly saved. Let us rejoice and worship like we're alive in You, and there is no convincing us otherwise. Help us now, God. I love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn over, Brother Eric, in the choir.
Say Page 22.
I'm glad that the Lord is there no matter what we're going through. No matter what we're facing. I'm so glad that I have God.
Yeah.
I turn to Him. And sometimes I don't even turn to Him. He turns to me.
Yeah.
So I think, oh, that I have the Lord in my life.
Yes. Amen.
Oh.
Washed in the blood.
for that good choir singing. Glad that I'm free from this world of sin. I don't know if you called it. There were some folks that got happy. I'm glad that God is real to people. You meet a lot of folks, they say they're saved. God's not very real. But I'm glad that there are some folks that are still alive today in which God is real on the inside of them. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I feel like doing this. I know it's out of the ordinary. If anybody's got a song or a testimony at this time, I feel like we need to do that. We'll do prayer requests at the end if need be. But I want to follow the Lord today. So if anybody's got a song or a testimony, feel free. But if not, we're going to jump into the Word of God. So if you feel like it, come on. I'll give you some time. But I'm thankful for the grace of God upon us today. I'm glad to see some faces I haven't seen in a while. I pray that the Word of God would work inside of us. I pray the Word of God would come down right where we're living. And I'm glad to report to you today, God knows your every need. Here's what I know, that there's lost folks that have walked into the church house today. Can I tell you that God has met your need? There's people that have come in struggling, and you're struggling with the woes and the ebbs and flows of life. God has met your need. I'm glad today we can say that. If anybody has anything at all, feel free. Pray for them as they come.
I know we haven't sung a lot, and it seems like, I don't know, it's me maybe. God doesn't seem to give me much anymore, so when he does, I want to try to do what he wants me to do. So just listen to the words of this song. What this blood did for me.
Jesus' blood did for me.
The circumstance looks just the same.
Appreciate those songs. I believe this time we'll get into the Word. I feel like we need to get there. And I ask you to pray today. I need your prayers. You can ask Jeremy, Eric, any of them. I was about as stressed this morning as I think I've ever been. And I need God's enabling. If I was standing up here by myself, it wouldn't be worth much. But I need God to help me today. So Ephesians chapter number 2 is where we'll be at. Ephesians chapter number 2. We know in this context that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. In the beginning of these verses, he says, "And you." I want you to know, and hopefully the Lord will line this out and take care of it. When he says, "And you," he is talking to the church at Ephesus. He is addressing a specific body of people. And that means something because of the following statement. Ephesians chapter number 2, "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Paul addresses this, and he says, "You he hath quickened together," and then he tells them what their life was like. I want to say today, I'm glad that I remember what life was like before Christ came in. We'll get into finishing reading this, but I want to stop right there. If you encounter the God of heaven, something will change. Yes. I'm telling you today, you'll not encounter the God of heaven. If you encounter him, he will make a change in your life. How could we look at the one who spoke the stars and the moon and the sun and the stars into their places and say, "He did all this, but when I encountered him, he didn't change much in me"? No, sir. When you encounter God, he will make you brand new. Amen. "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Notice what all of this is through. He's emphasizing over and over, through Christ Jesus. That is the only way we have what we have today, through Christ Jesus. Notice this: "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." He closes with this: "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So I want you to pray today as we walk through this scripture. I'm thankful for what God has given us in his word. And I'm thankful that it serves as a reminder of what we are, what we were, what we are, and what we're going to be. I'm glad that the word of God is sufficient in every area of life. And I beg and ask of you, please labor and pray with me for just a few moments. Here, Lord willing, after a while, we'll get out of here. We'll go get dinner. We'll go get what we need to get. But this is food for the soul. And I want us to get it today. Paul is writing unto the church at Ephesus, and he says these words. He said, "And you that he hath quickened." I want you to notice that word "quickened" today, and we'll get into the message. He says that he hath quickened. We need to know what that word means, I believe, to appreciate what he's saying. The word "quicken" is defined in the dictionary as being made alive. So he's talking to the church, and he says, "You that he hath quickened." Those of you that he hath made alive. I want to say today, we live in a world in which everyone is a child of God. Everyone has been born again. Everyone has been saved. But I want to say this today: the only way that you know that you have been with God and God has been with you is if he quickens you. What does that mean? If he takes your dead, wretched, vile flesh and he makes it brand new again. I want to say today that I am living off of more than just the breath in my lungs. Yes, sir. God has given me the oxygen to breathe in and the carbon dioxide to breathe out. I am living and walking off of that. But there is something every morning of my life that wakes me up and gives me a mission beyond the worldly desires. What is that? It is that God, one time as a six-year-old boy, when I was undeserving, when I was dead, when I was wretched, when I was vile, when I didn't deserve life, when I was so dead in my trespasses and sin, I couldn't see straight, when I did not know my left from my right, I'm glad today to say that God placed life on the inside of a six-year-old boy. I'm glad to say today that God quickened me when I could not quicken myself. I want to say today, if you get saved and you get born again, it will not be something that you do. It will not be something that mommy and daddy do. It will not be something that I do or Terry does, but it will be the grace of God that works on the inside of a man. And I am glad that God is exceeding and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or dream. Can I say today, dear sir, that God has plenty of life stored up for you? Yes, sir. Because He is life and His Son has purchased life for you. Here's what I know, and I want to get into this today. There are men that have walked in here and you believe that you have life just as sure as you've got breath in your lungs. You believe you've got life. You walked in and you say, preacher, I got out of bed today. I got ready and I got dressed and I came in the church house. You say, preacher, I've come to church for years and years. Preacher, I believe that I've got life. But I want to say, you must dig deeper in this moment, that life does not come from mortal man, that life does not come from your own mind, but life comes from the very throne of God. What does that mean? That God must quicken you and give you life. He hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I want to say this today. You're dead, 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 dead. Yes, sir. Well, preacher, how can I be dead when I've got breath in my lungs? I've got everything I need in front of me. I just don't understand. How is it that I could be dead in my trespasses and sin? Can I walk you back into the garden for just a moment? We know that Adam and Eve were created, and God had one policy for them. He said, do not eat of that tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. He said, the day that you do this, you will surely die. Adam and Eve went a little bit further on into the garden, and Eve ate from that tree. She was tempted by the serpent, and she reached up and she grabbed and she ate off of that tree. Adam also ate off of that tree, and God said from that time that disobedience, death came by the disobedience of one man. Can I inform you today that by your nature and by who you are and by the fall of Adam that you are dead in your trespasses before a holy God? This is a big deal. This is more than you're dead in your trespasses before me. That wouldn't make a big deal today, but you're dead in your trespasses before a holy God. You're dead in your trespasses in sin. That's a big deal to God. Why? Because God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. God is long-suffering. In order for God to be righteous, He cannot be affiliated with anything that is unrighteous. In order for God to stay holy, He cannot be affiliated with anything that is unholy. You sit back today unholy, and you're dead, and you're wretched, and you're vile. And here's what I want to say today for the church in this time and in this moment. We ought to rejoice in knowing about what God has done for us. Yes, sir. You ought to have a remembrance of being dead in your trespasses and sin. I want to say, I don't want that taken away from me, Jeremy. I'm glad that I can look back on my life and I can see what God has brought me from. I remember what it was like to be dead in my trespasses. I remember what it was like for the lust of my flesh to be evilly continually. I remember what it was like to wake up every day and chase all that I wanted. I want to say today, we sit back and we stare at this awesome move of grace, and we sit back and we just look and we look and we say, well, God saved me. I'm so glad. I want to say we ought to shout from the housetops and rejoice in knowing that we were once dead, yet now I am alive in Christ Jesus. And thank God today we sit back, and though we've been made alive, we sit back like we're still dead. I want to say I'm glad that God has given me life, and He's given me life more abundant. I want to say we ought to live like God has given us
life and life more abundantly. Yes, sir, we live in a dead, hopeless, vile, wretched world. Men don't know their left from their right. They don't know up from down. But here's what we can stand back and say. We can say there is a God that gave life where there was no life available. There is a God that took that which was dead and he made it alive. I'm reminded of what Mephibosheth said. He looked at David and he said, why would you look upon such a dead dog as I am? David, Mephibosheth said, I'm not worth anything. I'm just like a dead dog by the side of the road. I'm not worth much. There's nothing good to my name. I want to say, we ought to be reminded how broke, how much of a broken vessel that we were. We were just dead, wretched dogs down by the side, down by the wayside. We were blind men with no way to see. Yet God, who is rich in mercy, yet God, who is goodness, who in his infinite goodness reached down to you and I, and in a place when we did not have life, he gave us life. That might not be good news to you, but it's good news to me. When all else fails in life, there is one thing that I can shout about. There is one thing that I can rejoice about. And it is that I have life that is not contingent upon me. It's not contingent upon how good I am. But I have life that is rooted and based in the hope that is the anchor of the soul, who has become the captain of our salvation. I want to say that life was purchased for you and I. Yes, sir. That life did come at a cost. That to be quickened and to be made alive in Christ was not something that we could purchase on our own. We don't have the wealth in this world to buy that. But I want to say that life has been purchased on your behalf. Indeed, yes, sir. We arrived to a cross at Calvary. We arrived to a land that is despised and hated and rejected, the Messiah. Yes, we walk into a day and Christ is walking and he's being put on trial. He's being persecuted, battered, and marred. He's the only one who knows what life is. He's the only one who knows the Father. He's the only one who's got all knowledge and got all authority on his back. Hear me today. While man set back dead, wretched and vile, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I want to say today that I'm glad on the cross of Calvary he did not die for alive men. He did not die for good men, but he died for the dead, wretched, vile men like you and I. And I want to say today that when we realize that, we ought to get happy and say, oh God, it was by your grace and by your mercy that you gave a dead man life. We ought to wake up and realize that God has saved us from something. Himself. We'll get there. Said that they were the children of wrath. We find that in this next verse. Let's address this. He said that you walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's referencing what they used to live like, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want to say today, and can I ask you this question, have you been changed? Has the God of all glory reached down and has he made a change on the inside of you that is undeniable, that is noticeable? I want to say that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things, every ounce of your life will become new. Sure, you'll have to deal with the flesh. I get that. But understand the very nature that you're living and the very desires and the continual evil that is in your mind. When you get saved and you get born again, God will not let you live in darkness your entire life. Absolutely not. 1 John would tell us that if we live our entire lives in darkness and not in light, that we're not of the children of God. I want to say today that when God saves a man, I'm glad that God doesn't just half save. God doesn't just temporarily save, but God takes him, he washes him in red blood, and he makes him a new creature. I'm glad that that blood is that blood that was dripped from Calvary. That was the blood of his very son. I want to say today, and I want to know from you, have you been changed by the grace of an almighty God? I want to say, if you have not been changed, that you're still a child of wrath, that you are still under the headship of our first father, Adam. Yes, sir. What do you mean by that? That since Adam fell in the garden, death entered by one, so death hath passed upon all men. You sit back dead, wretched and vile by the fall of Adam. Here's what I know today. If you're dead and you're dead in your trespasses and sin, you're still a child of wrath. What does that mean? Oh, God, please help me. God, please. That means that the wrath of God is kindled against you. Yes, sir, please hear me. God is righteous. God is loving. God is wrathful. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is kind. He is all of those things at once. Here is the marvelous wonder of love, that God had every right to banish us to hell. God had every right to eradicate us off the face of the earth. But in His wrath, yet He loved us. I'm glad today when God could have banished me, when God could have got rid of me, when I was a child of wrath and a child of disobedience, when I was a child of rebellion, yet Levi, God loved me, and He took me, and He changed me, and He gave me a new nature. If you've been changed, you're a child of God. But if you've never been changed, you're a child of wrath. We live in an America, and we live in a church in which we've taken God and we've dumbed Him down. I want to say that everything God was in the beginning, He is today. Everything that God was during Sodom and Gomorrah, He is today. Everything that God was during the flood, He is today. Can I ask you something? What makes you think that God would look at the entire earth and see that the desires of their heart were continually wicked, and to reset everything, He would wipe everybody out with the flood? But we look at an America and we look at a world, and you look at yourself today, the desires of your heart are continually wicked. You love yourself and you only want the desires of yourself. What makes you think that God would let you slide? Can I ask you something today? What makes you so full of yourself, and what makes you so high and mighty that you think God is going to let you go? Just on your own accord, on your own goodness, on your own account? No. If you don't have a hope that extends beyond you, you're going to die, and the wrath of God is going to be upon you for all eternity. Yes, sir, never ending. As sure as the sun rose today, there will be no end to that lake that burns with fire. Please hear me. Dear sir, I hope you know this is an urgent matter. Well, preacher, how do I get out of that? How do I run from this place that I'm in? Oh, can I tell you about our advocate that sits at the right hand of the throne of God? He has now become our great and our merciful high priest. Can I tell you that you need bloodshed, that you need someone's blood to cover your iniquity? I have good news today, that God in His great infinite goodness had His very Son come from the portals of glory and enter into a robe of flesh. He had Him walk 33 and a half years. He had Him walk up a mountain at Calvary. He had a spear stuck in His side, and blood and water came out. Can I give you good news today? That what you need is a Savior, that what you need is a propitiation, that what you need is a sin sacrifice. And I want to say that on the cross of Calvary, the very Son of God did not miss an ounce. He didn't miss a wink, but He has become our great and our merciful high priest. He has made an offering even for you. Can I say that you need Him today? He doesn't need you. And this is the meaning of grace. He does not need you, but you need Him. Preacher, I don't know about this whole God thing. You'll find out. Preacher, I'm just not sure. Mommy and Daddy were an atheist. Mommy and Daddy were an agnostic. They believed that there was something out there, but we didn't know what. You'll meet Him someday. There is a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. You don't believe that? That's fine. Your 18 article says so. Of the world to come, we believe that the wicked shall be adjudged to endless punishment and the righteous to endless joy. There is a resurrection coming in which all men shall see the very Son of God. And for some, it will be joy and it will be full of glory. For some, it will be shouting. It will be soaring through the air. It will be going home for all of eternity. Oh, but dear sir, what hurts my soul and hurts my heart today is I know that there are men that have gathered in here today. And if you died in this moment at the day of the resurrection, at the day of His appearing, it would be a day of sadness and sorrow, because you would realize that this God you just weren't sure about, that this God you just didn't know about, He's just just as real can be. And I want to say today that it will not be anybody else's fault. It will not be the preachers. It will not be mommies. It will not be daddies. It will not be the deacons. But dear sir, when you come to the end of your life, it will be your own account. It will be your own issue. And if you've rejected him, it will be you for all of eternity that suffers because of your sinful deeds. God is real today, even when we were, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. But God, thank God for that statement. All of this, but God, if that's not there, we're in deep trouble. But God, who is rich in mercy. Can I say that he's got an abundance of mercy? That he's got all mercy we're ever going to need. Lost sinner today, he's got all mercy that you're ever going to need. What is mercy? It's when you don't get something that you do deserve. You get to escape something. But I want to say today, dear sir, that I'm glad that I didn't purchase mercy. I didn't find mercy on my own, but it was mercy that found me. Thank God today. What did you deserve, preacher? I was dead, wretched, and vile. Just as you sit back today, you're dead and wretched and vile in your own sins, Sean, and it was not I that came to God, but it was God that came to me. Why? Because he was rich in mercy. Thank God today. It was not I that came into the throne room of God and pleaded my own case on my behalf, but it was the very Son of God who is rich in mercy. When I couldn't plead my own case, when I couldn't get there by myself, I'm glad that I had an advocate with the Father. Oh, thank God today, Eric, he was rich in mercy. When I deserved every ounce of punishment, when I deserved every ounce of wrath, when I deserved every ounce of sorrow, it was the very Son of God who was rich in mercy, and I didn't have to get what I deserved because of his goodness. We've addressed the sinner. This gives hope to the saint as well. I'll be done here shortly. Hath raised us up together and made us to sit and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is two-sided today. If you're saved by the grace of God, there ought to be every once in a while that you leave this world for just a moment and you get to sit down with God and you get to rejoice and you leave all the sorrows and the troubles of this world behind and you get to go up and you get to sit in a heavenly place and realize that God has saved you from hell, that God has blessed every man of your life, that God has given you the breath in your lungs, that God has given you the clothes on your back, that God has given you the shoes on your feet, that God has given you the car to drive. God has given you the house to live in. God has given you everything that you're ever going to need. Every once in a while, we ought to leave this world behind. We ought to leave the sorrows of this world behind. And we ought to say, God, I just want to sit with you for just a moment. And I believe at that time and in that place, we ought to get some private devotion and say, oh God, it is me standing in the need of prayer. We've lost our private devotion. I want to say we ought to desire to sit with him as much as we can. We desire to do everything in this world. We desire to kill the deer. We desire to play the sports. We desire to have the job. We desire to have the house. But I want to say, when God saves you, he will give you a desire that every once in a while you'll leave this world and you'll go sit with him and have communion with him. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Can I say this? I'm glad that he's been good, but it ain't all over yet. That in the ages to come he might show his riches according to, I'm glad today that I can report to you that he's been good to me. He's been faithful when I haven't been faithful. He's been kind when I wasn't kind. He was living while I was dead and he's still alive. He was everything that I needed and everything I'm going to need. I'm glad up until this point that he has been good. Friend, but they begin to sing that song, Glory Road. I can see the lights of home. I'm glad today that in the ages to come, it's not all over yet, I believe, and we mentioned it, that soon we shall hear the last trump sound and the Lord shall descend upon a cloud. And oh, what glory awaits me when I enter that blessed city. And I'm glad that all sorrow, sin, and shame will be left behind for all of my days. I'm glad that in the ages to come, he's got more waiting for you and I. Can I say, church, we ought to press on in this time. In a dark and sorrowful world, we ought not give up, but we ought to press on because we know that things are going to wrap up very soon, that at any time Christ could come to gather the bride in. Let us labor. Let us work while there's time. I'll be done with this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's what I know. There's some of you sitting today, the indictment has come upon your life, and you know that you're dead and your trespasses and sin. I don't want to leave you there. I don't want to leave you believing you have no hope. Paul said it, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is unmerited favor. That means I didn't do anything to earn it, and thank God I don't do anything to keep it. Well, preacher, I just don't understand. You must come into the throne room of God through Christ, understanding that you have no hope in and of yourself, and that it is by grace, if God saves you, that he saves you. You'd be foolish today to go to the God of glory and say, oh God, I'm just struggling. Oh God, I've just got a few things that I do wrong. No, you must know your condition and say, oh God, I am dead and wretched and vile, and I stand in need of a Savior. And friend, I believe at that time, when you eradicate all hope of yourself and you come with a broken heart and with a contrite spirit, that God will bestow grace upon you. Not of works. There's nothing you're going to do to earn it. I'm done today. I'll ask everybody to stand, come get a song. Here's what I'll say. If you're really concerned, if you're serious about this matter, you'll come. If you're really that worried about it, if you really realize that you're dead and your trespasses and sin, if your greatest concern in life is that you're lost and undone without God, you'll come to him. You will come. I can beg and plead and ask as much as I want, but ultimately, I cannot choose God for you. I can ask God, sick him as much as I want, but ultimately, you must come to him. I'm going to say this. There may be some today. You don't know for sure that you're saved. Is there a change in your life that took place? Do you still walk after the same things you used to walk after? Or is there something inside of you that says, that's just not right? God will not save you and leave you for the rest of your life. He's not a lazy father. He's a good father. He'll come and get you where you stand. Sing whenever you're ready. Please come if you need to.
king would leave his throne to put on the robe of an earthly man and feel the pain of flesh and bone, then to later trod that lonely path that led to Calvary, but the blood
left. I'm glad that I'm free from this world of sin. The death that once held me captive has been held captive. Christ has led captivity captive. I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad for the Word of God and all that it does. I don't preach those things and it doesn't elevate me. Preaching those things crushes me. I mean that in all sincerity. Ultimately, I know that we deal with the matter of life and death. And I hope on your side of things you realize that you're dealing with the matter of life and death. I'm glad to be here today. At this time, we'll say you can be seated. We'll turn it over to Blaine for the announcements. Jeremy, sorry.
First, I'd like to say I'm thankful for everyone who donated stuff for our Thanksgiving dinners. We met yesterday and went and drove and delivered those and handed them out. And if I remember correctly, I believe we served 27 families yesterday, a full Thanksgiving dinner. So I'm thankful for everyone who donated and came out and helped us serve and gave some money or food or whatever it is. I'm sure my wife has some more details on that. Linda, you want to say something on that? On that note? You go first.
I've got to leave.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I just wanted to update everybody on Terry, and I'm going to leave because I don't like to leave him alone too long. But as you all know, he had a heart catheterization this week, and they placed a stent. They actually they piggybacked him a stent in his widowmaker, and he still has an 80% blockage on the other side. Blaine said that there's more that runs in the family than good looks and wit, so they're exactly in the same spots that Blaine's were in. He's doing pretty well, but he just really has to take it easy. I had to take him back to the hospital this week because his blood pressure was so erratic. It was way too high. So I called, and they told me to bring him back, so I did. They got that down, and we're just kind of trying to keep him. I'm trying to keep him calm, but that's hard. He wants to be here. This is his heart. You are his people, and he loves you. But right now, we got to take care of him. And this is what I told him. I said, Terry, we've got to take care of you so that you can still be able to service your people. And I want you here, and our grandkids want you here, and our great-grandkids want you here. So you got to do what you need to do right now for your health. Yep. So please pray for us as we go through this. He's doing pretty well right now, but I don't like to be away from him too long. It kind of worries me a little bit. So I'm going to leave. I just wanted to let you all know, though, that he's okay, but please continue to remember him in your prayers. And thank you so much for all the prayers and love that we can feel.
We love our pastor and pastor's wife. And we're thankful for our pastor, and we're thankful for our pastor's wife taking care of him. Appreciate that. Just got a couple more announcements. They're having Don Greninger's funeral. That's going to be here at 11 on Tuesday. Visitation is from 4 to 7 on Monday at Den Herder in Paulding. And my understanding is that Clint Gooden's going to be preaching that funeral on Tuesday at 11. So if you can come and help support Brother Clint and the Greninger family, we surely love Don. I wanted to remind the church, as of right now, we are supposed to have a baptism on December the 8th. I think there's three people who have said they would like to get baptized that day. I think you got Christmas play practice. Okay, all right, let him know.
I'll just add to what Jeremy said about the Thanksgiving dinners. I just wanted to thank the church for all their donations. We have more than enough food donated, which was amazing. I think we probably have had more food donated this last year than we've ever had. And we donated to a lot of really big families. And we were able to give them like three potatoes, you know, two or three stuffings, even, you know, some Debbie cakes, brownies, that sort of thing. So that was really nice that they were able to probably have like a full meal. So, I mean, if you think probably instant mashed potatoes, it probably serves maybe two or three people comfortably. So we were able to really provide them with a really great meal. So I just want to say thank you to the church. We also have more than enough money for our perishable items, and we actually have money left over, and we're going to use that money to adopt a family or two for Christmas. So if you know of anybody that might be in need, maybe they're in your school district or a family member, whatever the case may be, and they have little kids, please let us know, and we would like to adopt those families for Christmas and get them things that they need. So we just really appreciate the church. We appreciate all your donations, and please remember those families that we donated to. We don't know them at all, but I know that it seemed really rough where we donated to, so just pray that, you know, maybe that act of kindness can be a light to them in some way. So also, Carla Thompson, I got your cookie dough. Carolyn Jordan, I got yours too. It's out there by the door. And it's my mother-in-law's birthday, so tell her happy birthday.
All right, of course, we got Christmas play practice today. It's going to be all afternoon in between services. And if your children are first grade and up, let them stay. And we're going to eat pizza and have a good time. And just ask you to please pray for us. I was amazed when he was preaching. I was talking in Sunday school this morning about how just getting up and taking your first breath is a gift from God. And we talked about Thanksgiving and what to be thankful for. But I'm telling you, the best thing you could ever be thankful for is being saved. And I hope you really pray. I love the Christmas play. It's always been special to me, but if somebody could hear the gospel and somebody could preach, if the Spirit would move, that's the most important thing. We can talk about Jesus and tell about exactly what Cooper preached about. So pray for us in the Christmas play. And is there anything else I need to announce? I don't know if you noticed the roof in the entry, so it's all gone. Please cover your mouth when you sneeze. You can see what happens.
more thing. On December 5th is the Ladies Club's annual Christmas dinner and meeting. We kind of just have like some finger foods. We do a gift exchange, so go ahead and bring just like $15 to $20 little gift for everyone, and we'll do a big activity together, play some games, have food and fellowship. But most importantly, bring a prayerful heart. We gather here when the Christmas tree set up and share our burdens and really get to fellowship with one another and pray, and it's always a really powerful thing. So even if you are a member of the church that's a lady and you don't normally come, please come. It's a big help to everyone, and we just love to love on you and fellowship with you. So that's December 5th at 6 o'clock.
Thank you for all those announcements. They also, Bill said, Tuesday at 11, Don Greninger's funeral, they're wanting a choir. So if you're willing and able to come out and help in that, I know it would help, I think. Are you going to be leading the choir probably, or no? No. Yeah, remember Roger Carter and remember Marcella. Remember both of them. All right. I'll do this. I forgot we skipped prayer requests. If anybody, we can all stand. And if anybody has a prayer request, we'll take those, and then we'll just close in prayer and say, let me go. So if anybody has a prayer request, we'll say if anybody's got an unspoken, go ahead. Let's remember all those. Anyone with a spoken before we leave today? Remember that. Remember Vivian's grandson. Anyone else? Remember that. Remember Sister Sydney. Okay. Nobody else has anything. We'll ask Sean Hendrickson to lead us in prayer.
Take us and use us for your glory in Jesus' holy name.